gather together in the temple in the evening to read from Chaitanya Bhagavat is very auspicious. Today is, of course, an auspicious day, being the appearance day of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. But we should keep in mind that on any day, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai are here. And it pleases them when we can gather and hear about and discuss their transcendental pastimes. This is actually one of the standard procedures in deity worship, that we are all servants of the deity here. And as that service is supposed to be rendered in love. So what does love mean? Love means that one is attentive to the object of love, that one actually has a deep personal interest in the object of love. One likes to hear about the object of love. And similarly, the object of love, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, become pleased when they see their servants eagerly gathering to hear about them, and so they bestow their blessings upon us. This is the quality that Lord Krishna speaks of in Bhagavad Gita. We mentioned this in yesterday's Sunday feast lecture. Matchita matkata prana puriyantas parasparam katyantas chanmam nityam tushanti charamanticha. Lord Krishna identifies his devotees in this verse, saying that their thoughts are always absorbed in me. Matchita matkata prana. I am their very life and soul, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from hearing about me, discussing about me, preaching to others about me. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. This is the happiness of the Lord's devotees. And so Krishna becomes so beholden to such devotees that, as we heard yesterday, tesham evanu kam partha mahama jnana jam tamah, that he is bound to deliver such devotees from the darkness of ignorance. Even as we were explaining yesterday, even they may be very, very simple, uneducated, even they may be a buffalo or an ox or something. If they like to hear about Krishna, then Krishna feels bound to deliver them from their ignorance and bring them to the transcendental platform. So, anyway, we should consider this a very auspicious opportunity that we have this evening to gather here before their lordships and discuss the glories of their lordships. So we will read now from Madhya Lila, chapter 8 of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, whose appearance day is today. All glories to the beloved Lord Gaurasundara, who is most dear to everyone, especially Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya Prabhu. He is the life and soul of Sri Jagannath Pandit and Sri Gadadhar, and the most precious treasure of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, for he is the Lord and Master of Jagadish and Gopinath. All glories to the associates of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya continued to perform wonderful pastimes in Navadvip, along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Assisting in their pastimes, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, as well as all the other Vaishnavas, performed grand kirtan, dancing ecstatically while constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord Krishna. While Nityananda Prabhu remained in Srivas Pandit's house, he manifested the mood of a young boy. He would not even eat by himself and had to be fed by Mother Malini, who felt like a mother to him. One day, Lord Chaitanya began to discuss topics regarding Krishna consciousness with Srivas Pandit. Wanting to test Srivas, he asked, "Why do you keep and maintain this avaduta in your house?" A meaning, of course, Lord Nityananda. "You don't even know anything about him, who he is, where he comes from, or what his family background is. I warn you that you're being too lenient and kind to him. If you want to maintain the good reputation of your family and society, then you should immediately turn this avaduta out of your house." Who's speaking? Who just said that?
Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya. To who? Not proper for you to test me in this way. I know that Lord Nityananda is your expansion. You are the Supreme Lord, and there is no difference between yourself and Lord Nityananda. I am your servant, and anyone who serves you becomes my master. Even if Lord Nityananda were a meat-eating drunkard, and due to my association with him, I lost my reputation, wealth, and everything, still, I tell you truly that I would never think of anything else other than serving his and your lotus feet. Hearing Srivas Pandit speaking in this manner, the Lord stood up and roared loudly with great joy. What have I just heard from you, Srivas Pandit? You have so much faith and love for Nityananda Prabhu. You have understood the truth about my dear most confidential associate. This has that I grant you this boon. Even if there comes a time when Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, is forced to wander about with a begging bowl, still your house will never know the chills of penury. That means it will never know poverty. Everyone in your house, including your pet dogs and cats, will find complete shelter in my devotional service. Therefore, I leave Lord Nityananda Prabhu in your care so that you may look after him and serve him properly. Saying this, the Lord returned home. Lord Nityananda spent his time roaming about Navadvip. Sometimes he went to the Ganga to take a swim and happily allowed the currents to carry him away. At other times, he played with the young boys, acting just like a little child himself. He would visit the houses of Gangadas Pandit and Murari Gupta, and then run to Lord Chaitanya's house, where Mother Sachi showered him with affection. Absorbed in the mood of a young boy, Lord Nityananda would try to catch Mother Sachi's feet, and she always tried to escape from him. One night, Mother Sachi had a dream, in which she later, related to Lord Vishvambara in confidence. Late in the night, I dreamed I saw you and Nityananda. You were 2 5-year-old boys, running about and playing and fighting. I saw both of you enter the deity room and then come out with the deity of Lord Balaram in your hand and the deity of Krishna in Nityananda's hand. The 4 of you then began to fight with each other. Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna were angry and said to you, "Hey, you cheaters, you imposters, get out of here. This house and this room belongs to us, and everything else here, like the sweets, curds, and milks, are all ours." Nityananda replied, "Those days of stealing butter and curd for you to eat are now gone. You are no longer cowherd boys. Now you have become young brahmanas. So give up your possessiveness about all these sweets, yogurt, and milk now. If you do not listen to our sweet persuasions, then we will convince you with a beating. Who is going to tolerate your plundering and mischief?" Lord Balaram then snatching the sweets and food from each other's hands and mouths and eating it. Nityananda called out to me, remember, this is Mother Sachi's dream. Nityananda called out to me, saying, "Mother, bring my food, I am very hungry." Thereafter I woke up, but I cannot understand anything of this dream, therefore I am telling you. Hearing this description of Mother Sachi's dream, Lord Vishvambara smiled and spoke to her tenderly. "That was a nice dream you had, Mother, but do not tell this to anyone. Our deities are actually living and are very potent. Your dream has increased and it strengthened my devotion and faith in them. It is interesting that you dreamt about this, as I have been observing something strange, which I did not reveal before because I was feeling ashamed. I noticed that the foodstuff which your daughter-in-law cooked and offered to their lordships, Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, would remain half-eaten after the offering was over. I was suspicious of my wife, but now everything has become clear." So he was thinking his that Vishnu Priya was eating the deity plate. And she smiled at her husband's words. "Lord Vishvambara, sir, let me go under here right away and you can feed him." Happy to hear this, Sachimata quickly began to prepare for cooking. Lord Vishvambara went to Nityananda Prabhu and extended an invitation to him, along with a warning. "Today we are making a special offering to the deities, so please do not misbehave." Nityananda Prabhu caught hold of his ears and cried, "Vishnu, Vishnu, only mad people misbehave. You think that I will misbehave because you think everyone is like yourself." Joking in this way, they proceeded toward Vishvambara's house, absorbed in talks of Krishna. Entering the house, they were given water to wash their feet, and then sat down to eat next to each other, surrounded by Gadadhar Pandit and other friends. Sitting together in this way, Nityananda and Vishvambara looked exactly like Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman sitting in their mother's house. The mood was the same, and their affection for each other was the same, as they were the same persons. Mother Sachi was very happy and excitedly hurried to serve out 3 full plates of prasadam for the two of them. When she returned, she found 2 young boys of 5 in the place where Vishvambara and Nityananda had been sitting. One of the boys had a blackish complexion and the other was very fair. Both of them were exquisitely beautiful and were without any clothing. One of them had 4 arms which held the conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus. His breast was marked with the Srivatsa, the glistening Kaustubha jewel hung from his neck, and beautiful fish-shaped earrings dangled from his ears. The other boy held the plow and the pestle. She also saw her daughter-in-law, Vishnupriya, situated on the breast of one of the young children. No sooner had she seen this wonderful sight than it vanished. Mother Sachi stood still, mummified with ecstasy, and tears rolled down her face, drenching her clothes. All the foodstuff scattered as Mother Sachi fell to the ground and lay unconscious. Lord Vishvambara rushed to wash his hands and mouth, then quickly ran to rescue his mother. Lifting her up, he said, "Mother, mother, please get up. Calm down. Get control of yourself. Why did you suddenly fall to the ground?" Mother Sachi slowly regained consciousness and quickly tied her loosened hair. Without uttering a word, she went inside her room and began weeping. She was overwhelmed with ecstatic love for God, and nothing else mattered to her. Her breath came in great sighs, and her body trembled from head to toe. Meanwhile, the servant, Ishan, cleaned the eating room. He collected the remnants of food that had scattered on the floor and ate it all. Ishan is a truly extremely fortunate person, for every day he performed such wonderful activities, yet he remained like a servant. Thus no one knew that he was actually perceiving the highest transcendental truth. Lord Gaurachandra, along with his devotees, continued to perform congregational chanting of the holy name in Navadvip. Although the Lord's eternal associates had appeared in different parts of Bengal, gradually Dweep, there they soon found out that the Supreme Lord had appeared. Allaying the fears of the devotees and filling their hearts with bliss, Lord Vishvambara manifested himself before them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's devotees are dear to him as his own heart. Thus, the Supreme Personality, who is intensely sought after through the Vedic literature, mixed freely with his devotees, embracing all of them so lovingly that each one of them felt as if he were the most prominent of the Lord's associates. The Lord regularly visited his disciples in their homes, where he would exhibit to them his four-handed form. Sometimes he went to Gangadas Pandit's house or to Murari Gupta's house, and at other times he visited Srivas Pandit's house. But all the while, the Lord's constant companion was Nityananda Prabhu, whom he could not bear to be separated from. Lord Nityananda was always engrossed in the playful mood of a young boy, and Vishvambara wholeheartedly reciprocated with him in the same spirit. According to their particular faith, various devotees saw Lord Chaitanya appear before them in different incarnations: Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Bhamana, Nishringa, etc. Some days the Lord was absorbed in the mood of the gopis and wept continuously, oblivious of the passage of time. Other days he felt like Uddhava or Akrura, while at other times he felt like Lord Balaram and demanded that wine be brought to him. Sometimes he was filled with the emotions of Lord Brahma and began chanting hymns, falling on the ground. Another time, feeling like Prahlad Maharaj, he offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. In this way, Lord Chaitanya floated on various waves of devotional ecstasy. Observing the happiness of her son, Mother Sachi was extremely happy. Yet one dreadful thought continuously interrupted her cheerful mood. What if my son leaves home? Brushing such unpleasant thoughts aside, she said, "Dear son, go and take your bath in the Ganga. Mother, please chant the holy name, Krishna, Rama." In every conversation with his mother, the Lord simply replied with one word, Krishna. These super excellent transcendental pastimes of the Lord are all inconceivable. They cannot be understood by any amount of material calculation. One day, a wandering devotee of Lord Shiva passed by singing the glories of his Lord while dancing blissfully round and round. Hearing the singing of the Shaivite, Sri Chaitanya suddenly appeared in the form of Lord Shiva with great matted locks of hair piled on his head. Jumping up on the singer's shoulder, he shouted loudly, "I am Shankara, I am Sankara." The people watched in amazement as the Lord sat perched on the devotee's shoulder, playing a horn and a small hand drum. The Lord encouraged the Shaivite to continue singing. That day, that fortunate devotee received the full benefit of purely glorifying his Lord Shiva. The Supreme Lord Gaurasundara sat on his shoulders. The Lord regained normalcy and climbed down and personally offered alms to the singer. The singer devotee left feeling extremely grateful and satisfied. The devotee's servants of Lord Gauranga shouted Lord Hari's name, feeling a surge of devotional ecstasy in the Lord's company. The Lord said, "You, my brothers, please hear the essential teachings of all scriptures. Why should we waste our nights in useless activities? Let us make a firm resolution from today to spend the nights engaged in the most auspicious activities, chanting the Lord's name. By performing congregational chanting of the holy name, all of us will drown in a divine deluge, as if the flood of devotional ecstasy is gushing like Ganga Devi. Let the whole world be delivered by hearing the Lord's name. In that way, you will become everyone's spiritual life giver and beloved treasure." The Lord's words breathe great joy to all the Vaishnav hearts. Lord Chaitanya had begun his kirtan pastimes. Every night, the Lord met the devotees in Srivas Pandit's house and performed kirtan. Some days, he would also meet in Chandrasekhar's house. These kirtan meetings would be attended by so many devotees, the Lord's dear servants, that all their names cannot be possibly remembered. Hare Krishna. Lord Nityananda was there with Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit, Vidyanidhi, Murari, Hiranya, Haridas Thakur, Gangadas, Banamali, Bijoy, Nandana, Jagannanda Pandit, Budhimanta Khan, Narayana, Kashishwara, Vasudev, Ram, Gurudai, Govinda, Govindaram, Gopinath, Jagadish, Sriman, Sridhar, Sadashiva, Vrakreshwara, Sri Garba, Suklambhar, Brahmananda, Purushottam, Sanjaya, and others. The Lord was always surrounded only by such devotees who accompanied him in kirtan and dancing. The Lord's ecstatic, thunderous roars and loud kirtan rended the very limits of the material world. These kirtans agitated the envious atheists. They clapped their thighs and jumped up, pouring out streams of profanity. All this loud howling and wild dancing after a good wine bout, as soon as it gets to be nighttime, is robbing us of our entire night's precious sleep. These imposters entice women to them with their hypnotic enchantments and enjoy them the whole night. These atheists are consumed by their own fire. Oh, so now this is talking about, that was the end of the quote. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur, after quoting them, he says, this is his comment, "These atheists were consumed in their own fire of hate, and the Lord, Sachimanandana, danced in great joy. As soon as the kirtan begins, the Lord comes in trance, becomes oblivious of the phenomenal world. Dancing, he falls to the ground with such force that the earth quakes and cracks in places. The devotees look at him mummified in fear. As the Lord's tender body contacts the hard surface, Sachimata closes her eyes, silently praying to Lord Govinda Krishna for his protection. Sachimata knows that Nimai is in spiritual trance, yet due to her intense love for the Lord, she experienced great agony. She did not know what action to take, so she earnestly prayed to the Lord, "O Lord Krishna, please grant me this wish that I may not know when Nimai hurls himself to the ground. Please grant me this mercy, Krishna. Although for Nimai there is no pain but actual blissfulness, I will be happy to remain unaware of all this." Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, knew Sachimata's wishes, so accordingly he infused in her divine ecstasy. As long as Lord Chaitanya performed kirtan and dancing, Mother Sachi entered a state of spiritual exhilaration and became heedless of this material world. All the time now, the Lord spent in kirtan and ecstatic dancing, surrounded by his followers. Some days, the devotee would collect in the Lord's house and begin loud sankirtan while the Lord immersed himself in dancing. At times, the Lord exhibited his mood as the omnipotent supreme controller. Then at other times he wept in humility, saying, I am your servant. Dear readers, hear these narrations about the Lord's transcendental ecstasies very attentively, for there is no one who can dance so gracefully as Lord Chaitanya in the entire creation. And likewise, the beautiful and exuberant singing of his associates that accompany his dancing is also incomparable. On special days, religious days like Ekadasi, Dwadasi, or Vishnu Tattva appearances, Lord Chaitanya assembled all the devotees in Srivas Pandit's house from early dawn and began mesmerizing everyone with jubilant dancing. In the house of the most fortunate soul, Srivas Pandit, a melodious tumult of the holy names of Govinda, Gopal, went up in the atmosphere. Different kirtan groups emerged from out of the assembled devotees. Srivas Pandit headed one group, Mukunda another, and Govinda yet another. They all sang and the Lord danced. Nityananda Prabhu, that great spiritual stalwart, circumambulated the dancing Lord while Advaitacharya Prabhu stealthily lifted the full eyes. Here are some of the descriptions of how they performed kirtan to accompany the Lord's magnificent dancing. They sang often in Bhatigari Rag. The directions resounded with the singing of the holy name Govinda, and Mahaprabhu accompanied it, lost in his bodily movements. They sang, Hari O Ram, Hari O Ram. Lord Chaitanya would begin to weep during kirtans. It continued minimum for an hour. His long tresses tossed about on the ground, and he made no attempt to tie them. Only hearts of stone can remain unmoved by this sight. The devotees fell swooning to the ground, trying to reach out to the Lord. And when he began laughing, he broke out in carefree, effervescent mirth, infecting everyone with ecstatic joy for hours. Lord Chaitanya, being surcharged with a mood of servitorship, became unaware of his own divinity. Jubilantly he repeated, I am victorious, I am victorious. And all the devotees chorused the same. At intervals, the Lord sang out so loudly it sounded as if the entire universe would split open. Sometimes he became heavier than the earth, impossible for anyone to hold him. And again he lost so much weight, in a moment he was lighter than cotton wool and was being carried around the house jubilantly by devotees on their shoulders. The Lord frequently went into ecstatic trances on the least of provocation, putting the devotees in anxiety, and they chanted Hari loudly into his ears to awaken him. Then sometimes his entire body shivered uncontrolled, his teeth chattering like a little boy on a winter morning. Next moment he was drenched in cold sweat, like Mother Ganga was flowing out of his pores. His body would suddenly become burning hot, drying up all the cooling sandal paste applied to his person. He released gigantic sighs, throwing asunder the devotees from his front, and then he rushed at the devotees to catch their feet, and all the Vaishnavas tried to escape the Lord. The Lord liked to sit and rest against Lord Nityananda, lifting his lotus feet. He looked smilingly at the devotees. The devotees immediately comprehended the impact of this pastime, and they ran to loot the priceless treasure of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. Advaitacharya said, O you thief, now we have crushed your pride. Lord Chaitanya blissfully rolled on the ground and allowed the devotees to glorify Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya danced vigorously, the earth quaked and the devotees looked around in apprehension. But when he danced with graceful postures, he looked like the divine Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. He roared sometimes with the roar of 10 million lions, but he carefully protected the devotees' eardrums. Often he would be seen by some moving on air a little above the ground, yet not everyone could see. He stared at the devotees with eyes turned bright red due to feelings of extreme ecstasy. They were shocked at first, but then they fled away laughing. Vishvambara became restless with ecstasy and danced, lost in himself. He caught someone's feet and sometimes even clambered on his head. He would drape around someone's neck and weep, and the next moment climb onto his shoulders. Again overcome by the youthful mood, he became restless and made sounds of musical instruments with his mouth like a playful lad. He would shake his foot and laugh continuously, and then get down and crawl on all fours, feeling like a baby. At times Vishvambara entered in and stood for hours in the Tribhanga position, the body bent in three places. He meditated for some time and then played the flute melodiously. And he looked just like Krishna, the moon of Vrindavan. When he came out of this mood again, he felt like the Lord's servitor and wept. With utmost humility, he begged everyone wanting to serve their feet. The Lord sometimes bent his body like a wheel, his feet touching the head, and remained like this for long hours. He expressed all of his ecstatic moods in wondrous ways, dancing exquisitely, immersed in the bliss of chanting his own names. Now his body trembled as he frequently made roaring sounds, and now became unquiet and fell crashing to the ground. A dancing, resplendent golden figure suddenly became multicolored. Suddenly, the devotees saw double images of Lord Chaitanya. The Supreme Lord Chaitanya exhibited such extraordinary displays of ecstatic emotion under the total influence of his mood of a Vaishnav devotee. He often repeated unspeakable words, shouting before the Vaishnavas he respected as Prabhu. As a Prabhu is now caught by his hair by the Lord, and the Lord calls out, "This fellow is my servant." The Vaishnava whose feet he tried to catch previously in humility, he now stands on his stands on his breast. The devotees all around were so captivated and moved by the Lord's ecstatic symptoms that they put their hands around each other's necks and cried. The entire group of assembled Vaishnavas looked so radiant, their bodies decorated with sandalwood tilak and tulsi mala, and blissfully tasted the nectar of the chanting of Krishna's name. The sounds of their voices, mridangas, conch shells, and kartals mingled to a melodious uproar. As this auspicious sound of the holy name spread and filled the blue heaven, evil and misfortune disappeared in every direction. How extraordinary is that Supreme Master that the entire universe became cleansed of sin simply by the dancing of his disciples. And the Master Krishna himself dances to the accompaniment of his own holy name. How can the Puranas ever explain this supernatural phenomena? Lord Chaitanya danced surrounded by his devotees, loudly chanting the auspicious name of Lord Hari. Lord Shiva becomes spiritually surcharged with bliss at the sound of the Lord's name. And at once he begins to dance and taste the nectar. He loses track of his person and clothes. That very name of the Lord transformed Valmiki to an embodiment of knowledge and renunciation. The same holy name offered Ajamil supreme liberation. Hearing his name, the shackles of material existence are broken. That self-same Supreme Lord has now appeared in Kali Yuga and is dancing to his own name. Narada Muni and Sukadev Goswami roam the universe singing his name, and Anantashesh Prabhu with 1,000 mouths glorifies his name. Whose name is the best means for atonement from my sin? That same Supreme Personality dances only to be seen by the most fortunate souls. I am so fallen and wretched that I was not born then to see this marvelous festival of Sankirtan and dance. Srila Vyasadeva's son Sukadeva Goswami praised Kali Yuga and Srimad Bhagavatam because he knew the future advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That same Lord now danced immersed with his joyful self, enchanting all around him with the rhythmic patting of his feet. The Vajayanti garland around his neck swung wildly, echoing the Lord's ecstatic dancing mood. He tore the garland and threw the shreds at his devotees' feet. Giving up his joy rides on Garuda's shoulder, he forgot his conch shell, disc, mace, lotus holding form, forsake his bed of Anantashesh. In his pastimes as Gaurachandra, he rolled on the dust and wept, overcome with the ecstatic mood of servitorship to the Supreme Lord. Gone was his mood of Lord and Master and the pleasures of the Vaikuntha planets. The ecstasy of being the Lord's servant overshadowed all other pleasures. The Lord is the supreme subject of all pleasures, yet disregarding the pleasure of Lakshmi Devi's company and exquisite face, he prefers to chant and dance in the ecstasy of kirtan and drown in an ocean of acute separation from his beloved Krishna. The Supreme Lord, who is diligently served by elevated personalities like Lord Shiva and Narada Muni, have given up their wealth position for this. That same Lord Gauranga has neglected his supreme absolute lordship with utmost humility, taking a straw in his mouth, and is begging and praying for devotional service. And if any wretched soul, in spite of the Lord's unprecedented novel example, disregards devotional service to the Supreme Lord, he is unfortunate enough to throw away the nectar and drink poison. These are again those who read and propagate the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and establish themselves as Lord and Master without appreciating the extraordinary beauty of devotional service. All their activities are lowly and futile. They do not know the essential truth in the Vedas, yet they deliver dissertations on the scriptures to equally agnostic audience. They are truly like the mules carrying the burden of the burdensome load of useless learning. The Vedas and Bhagavatam have unequivocally elucidated the elevated position of devotional servitorship to the Supreme. Lakshmi Devi, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others carefully cultivate this priceless process. Those who do not have complete faith in Lord Chaitanya's words are most unfortunate and are forever disassociated from his mercy. It was so divinely enchanting to see Lord Gaurasundara dance surrounded by all his associates singing sweet melodies, sweet melodious kirtans. Advaitacharya, unable to control his ecstasy, often went into a trance and covered his entire body with straw, and holding one in his mouth in humility with some on his head, he danced vigorously, his eyebrows drawn close together. The assembled devotees were astounded by Advaitacharya's ecstatic symptoms, while Nityananda, Prabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit were shaking with laughter. Lord Gaurasundara, the dear life of every soul, continued his sublime dance, frequently overcome by endless ecstatic emotions. Lord Gaurasundara exhibited such extraordinary symptoms of ecstasy that are not even mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, nor has anyone heard of them from anywhere else. Sometimes his body became stiff like a statue, and no one could possibly move or bend him. Then again, his body became soft as cream, as if he had no bones in the body. Other times he looked at least twice his normal size. And again, sometimes he looked at least twice his normal size. And again, he became thinner and smaller than usual. Sometimes he moved drowsily about like a drunkard, suddenly breaking out into joyous, boisterous laughter, shaking his entire frame. Seeing the assembled Vaishnavas surrounding him, Lord Gaurasundara, enraptured in spiritual emotion, started calling out each with their previous names. He looked around and shouted to the individual devotees and called them names like Haladar, Shiva, Sukha, Narada, Prahlad, Ram, Aja, Uddhava. In this way, the Lord skillfully revealed different devotees' previous identities in Krishna Lila. All the devotees marveled, filling their eyes with the enchanting dance of Lord Gaurasundara in the mood of Lord Krishna. The crowd at Srivas Pandit's residence, drawn by the delightful kirtan, was overflowing and over-anxious to see Sri Gaurasundara. Those who arrived early in the house and could see everything, others remained outside. The Lord instructed for the doors to be closed. The people of Nadia were impatient, creating a loud commotion to get inside. They cried out, "We want to see the kirtan! Open the doors immediately!" The Vaishnavas inside were unaware of any happenings, their complete attention captivated by the kirtan. Amongst those who were not allowed inside were some atheistic and envious persons making various comments. They said, "These are a bunch of beggars, afraid and feeling ashamed. They might be recognized by others, so they closed the door." "You are right. It is only due to the pangs of hunger that they scream nonstop for hours. Actually, they closed the doors because they do not want us to catch them drinking wine all night. Nimai Pandit was good and normal. We do not know why God changed his mentality. I think this is a consequence of his past life. In fact, this is happening because of bad association. Ever since Nimai lost his father, he has had no one to discipline him. Nimai has since long given up his studies, grammar, and if you lose touch with such subjects as this for even mystical incantations, casting spells on women, and they bring them here. Together they eat and drink all sorts of things and decorate themselves with fragrant flowers and perfumes and engage in various illicit recreation. So they lock their doors to avoid public censure. Tomorrow I shall definitely have them arrested and taken away bound up like common criminals. All this howling and shouting, Hari, Hari, was never heard in these parts. Now this kirtan has stolen the sleep and peace of common people. All material prosperity is now forever gone, and instead we will have famine. The rains will stop due to their activities, and no grains will grow, and we will all starve. But let us wait outside a few days, because this madness cannot go on for too long. We shall see that Srivas or Advaita or that Avaduta, we shall see what that Srivas or Avaduta or Advaita or that Avaduta Nityananda does. In this manner, the godless persons raved and threatened. But the Vaishnavas were immersed in joyous ocean of kirtan, and they did not pay any attention to their words. Outside, the tirade continued. "It is not a Brahmana's duty to sing and dance. That is for the low-class man. Sad that an educated Brahmana should set such a bad example. Just looking at them, even an upright Brahmana loses all his good qualities. No one as much should see their dancing in kirtan, even out of curiosity. Look what happened to Nimai. He was intelligent. Now he is mad, dancing and singing with them. And they are steadily increasing in number. What is the use of their calling out to God without any self-realization? God resides within you. Why reject the wealth in your own house and search for it elsewhere in the forest? Then someone quite unexpectedly said, no use in criticizing others like this. Better, why don't you just go home and mind your own business? Another voice supported him by saying, we cannot get inside to see the kirtan due to our own misfortune from our previous life. How can we criticize those who are fortunate to be inside participating in the kirtan? They are very pious. The atheist then cried out, he must belong to their group. And they approached that person very aggressively. What is the great loss if we do not see their kirtan? They are simply a few hundred prancing around screaming as if in war. Without practicing chanting, penances, or cultivating knowledge, they follow a concocted method of discipline and meditation. They collect foodstuffs like rice, bananas, milk, and curd, and mixing everything, they sit together and eat. In this way, they corrupt the caste system. People came to see the kirtan only to abuse. Just look at how madly they are acting. They indulged in such comments, and then they left. And again, a fresh group of the Christians. When two agnostics met, they engaged in ridiculing the Vaishnavas, and they shared laughter together. When they met anyone who had never seen the kirtan, they forced them to go to Srivasa's house, and only on repeated pleadings would they allow someone to get away. Someone said, what a wonder, in spite of seeing all this, the people crazily follow Nimai Pandit. With all the hustle and bustle at Srivas Thakur's house, it sounds like he is celebrating Durga Puja. The only sound one hears is a great din. This certainly gives rise to all the ill rumors. Navadvip is crowded with thousands of erudite scholars, yet there are charlatans who have gained prominence here. We must free Navadvip to the river Ganga. It is for the benefit of this town to be rid of this so-called Brahmana. Otherwise, when the Brahminical culture wanes by his bad example, the Muslims will take over. Such were the unending stream of invectives against the Vaishnavas. Yet some atheists were somehow very fortunate. They were born in the same place as the Lord, so they automatically saw and heard the Lord's dancing, kirtan, and other pastimes. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya were deaf to all such criticism, intoxicated by the sweet nectar of Krishna's name. Day and night, they sang the different transcendental names of Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Murari, Mukunda, Banamali. And day and night, a tireless Lord Vishvambara sang and danced with his associates, whose transcendental bodies were naturally without... whose transcendental bodies naturally did not become tired. Immersed in the ecstasy of the holy name with Lord Chaitanya, millenniums passed, but by human consideration they were but a few years for the devotees. Like in the rasa dance pastimes of Lord Krishna, the young damsels, the Vrajagopis spent millenniums with Krishna dancing with him, but to him it seemed a mere fleeting moment which came to an end only too early. Krishna's pastimes are all inconceivable, and the associates of Lord Chaitanya, knowing this, had similar experiences of time like the Vrajagopis. One night, an hour before dawn, Lord Chaitanya suddenly stopped dancing and climbed up on the altar, lifting on his lap the Shalagram Shilas that were in Lord Vishnu's seat. And he sat down in the seat. The seat cracked and protested loudly under his weight. Lord Nityananda quickly rushed to hold up the altar seat. Now, with Lord Anantashesh supporting the seat, it did not crumble. And Lord Gaurasundara sat comfortably in it and swayed gently. The Lord ordered for the kirtan to discontinue, and as quietness settled, he began to reveal the transcendental truth about himself with a booming loud voice. In Kali Yuga, I have appeared as Krishna. I am the Supreme Lord Narayan and the fortunate son of Devaki. I am the Lord and Master of the entire cosmic creation. It is I who is glorified in all your songs. For you are my servitors. I have appeared for the sake of all of you. I have accepted whatever foodstuffs you have offered. They were gifts meant for me. Srivas said, O Lord, everything is yours. Lord Chaitanya replied, I will eat everything. Advaitacharya said, Lord, it is a great fortune for us. The devotees became busy bringing edibles for the Lord, and the Lord enjoyed it with relish. He ate milk, curd, and fresh butter and kept repeating, what else do you have? Bring it. They brought him milk, sweets, and like sandesh, which he mixed with sugar. They brought rock candy with coconut milk and grains, bananas with flat rice and fried rice. He consumed large amounts and still said, bring more. He ate in a matter of minutes more than what 200 men could eat. Still the Lord said, "What else is there? Bring it, bring it, bring it." The devotees were alarmed because their supplies were exhausted. They became amazed at the Lord in this mood and began to remember the Lord Almighty. They prayed to the Lord with folded hands. "O Lord, what do we know about your mystic potencies? How can we satisfy you with our small gifts? Someone who can hold the entire creation in his stomach." The Lord replied, "My devotees' gifts are never small or insignificant to me. Quickly, bring, bring. What other things do you have?" They said, "Please listen, dear Lord. The only thing we have left is some camphor rice." The Lord replied, "Do not worry. Bring me that." The devotees became jubilant and forgot their fears. Each one hurried to bring as much rice as they could. And the Lord received it with open outstretched palms. The Lord then made large eyes, and rolling them, he began to call out loudly, "Nara, Nara, Nara." The dumbstruck devotees sat around with terror in their hearts. They saw the Lord as a terrible master come to give out punishments. No one could approach him. Lord Nityananda stood behind Mahaprabhu holding an umbrella over him, and Advaita Acharya stood before the Lord with folded hands offering him prayers. All the devotees hung their heads in consternation and remembered the shelter of Lord Chaitanya's feet. Whosoever relishes these narrations of the Lord's mystic opulence will certainly be able to see the beautiful face of the Lord. And in whatever stage of spiritual realization one is situated, he will perceive to that extent only such revelations. Anything more is impossible without the Lord's sanction. Looking at Advaita's face, the Lord said, "As for a boon, I have incarnated here only because of you." The Lord looked at all the devotees one by one and laughingly said, "Ask for what you want." The Lord manifested his divine awesome potency in this way, sweeping away the devotees in waves of ecstasy. The Lord's inconceivable pastimes are impossible to comprehend. In a matter of moments, the Lord changes from an exacting autocrat to a devotee swooning in devotional ecstasy. On regaining consciousness, the Lord wept continuously, manifesting the mood of servitorship. He went around putting his arms round the Vaishnava's neck and wept, calling them brother, friend. An ordinary person could never see such activities. Only by the arrangement of the Lord's Maya potency, the Lord's servitors were eligible to perceive the truth about the Lord's supermundane situation. The devotees were joyous and laughing at the Lord's wonderful character, and they said, "Supreme Lord Narayan has advented." He again fell down unconscious with overwhelming bliss and lay on the ground as if dead. The devotees began to lament bitterly. They thought, "My beloved Lord has left me behind and has left this world. Why is he so cruel to me? I will also leave my body immediately." The all-knowing Lord then woke up, feeling the thoughts of his devotees, and started a loud kirtan. The devotees were suddenly stirred up and in extreme exhilaration lost balance. Navadvip devotees thus relish such wonderful loving pastimes with the Lord of Vaikuntha. Whoever hears these transcendental pastimes of the Lord, his mind will always dwell in the association of the devotees and in the Supreme Lord Gaurasundara himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.